And welcome to Next Reads, a podcast where we read the first chapter of a young adult or middle grade book to help you figure out what to read next. This podcast might contain language or situations some readers might find offensive or unsettling. The North Liberty Library does not necessarily endorse any author's views, but it does support the freedom of speech and the freedom to read. I'm your host, Kayla, the Youth and Teen Services Librarian at the North Liberty Library. My pronouns are she and her. Welcome, listeners. Today, I'm going to be reading from Nature of Witches by Rachel Griffin. This is her debut novel, and some fun facts about her is she was born on the vernal equinox and is a proud spring witch. She has a deep love of nature, and when she isn't writing, you can find her wandering the Pacific Northwest, reading by the fire, or drinking copious amounts of coffee and tea. The Nature of Witches is a young adult 2021 book. Let me read the summary for you, and then we can talk more about it. Clara Densmore is an Everwitch. For centuries, witches have maintained the climate, their powers peaking in the season of their birth, but their control is faltering as the atmosphere becomes more erratic. All hope lies with Clara, whose rare magic is tied to every season. In autumn, Clara wants nothing to do with her power. It's wild and volatile, and the price of her magic, losing the one she loves, is too high, despite the need to control the increasingly dangerous weather. In winter, the world is on the precipice of disaster. Fires burn, storms rage, and Clara finally accepts that she is the only one who can make a difference. In spring, she falls for Sang, the witch training her. As her magic grows, so does her feelings for him, until she's terrified Sang will be the next one she loses. In summer, Clara must choose between her power and her happiness, her duty and the people she loves, before she loses everything. From a stunning new voice comes a story about a powerful witch who must decide if using her volatile magic to help the world is worth the price of losing the person she loves the most. Oof. So this is a fantasy with an unavoidable romance. It's very dramatic, and it has such lush descriptions of nature. So yesterday, April 22nd, was Earth Day, which for those of you who don't know much about Earth Day, it's an annual event to demonstrate support for environmental protection. I have more information about it in the show notes. But I chose this book for our episode today because it's weather witches confronting climate change in this fantasy book. And it is such an interesting twist on environmental fiction, it being a fantasy book. So yeah, some content warnings are death, blood, extreme weather, and grief and isolation. Please take care of yourself first. And without further ado, here's the first chapter. Oh, and I almost forgot. You kind of see as I read through the summary, but this book is broken up into seasons. So it goes summer to like the next summer, and then like there's some time jumps. So, summer, chapter one. Being an Everwitch means two things. You are powerful and you are dangerous. From A Season for Everything. Everything is burning. So many flames, it looks as if we set the sky on fire. The sun has long since vanished, hidden behind a haze of smoke and ash, but its magic is still rushing through me. The fire has been raging for 6 days. It started with the smallest spark and became all-consuming in the span of a breath, flames spreading chaotic and fast as if they were being chased. Starting the fire was easy, but putting it out is something else entirely. It's our last wildfire training of the season, and it's more intense than all the other training sessions combined. The fire is larger, the flames are higher, and the earth is drier. But wildfires are a threat we now have to deal with, so we must learn. There are more than 100 witches from all over the world here on campus to take this training. The other witches help. The springs provide fuel, growing acres and acres of pine to sustain the fire. The winters pull moisture from the trees, and the autumns stand along the perimeter of the training field, ensuring the fire doesn't spread behind it. We have to learn, but that doesn't mean we're going to burn down our entire campus in the process. The rest is up to the Summers, and we have one job. Make it rain. It's not easy. The winters pulled so much water from the ground that it feels more like sawdust than dirt. My eyes sting, and a layer of ash clings to the sweat on my face. My head is tilted back, hands outstretched, energy flowing through my veins. Summer magic is a constant rush, strong and powerful, and I push it toward the forest, where water soaks the earth and a lazy stream moves through the trees. The power of the witches around me follows, and I send it deeper into the woods. It weaves around trees and skims the forest floor until it finds a particularly wet stretch of earth. Goosebumps rise along my skin as the heat of my magic collides with the cold moisture. There's enough water here to coax from the ground and into the clouds, enough to vanquish the fire and clear the air of smoke. This is the first time I've been involved in a group training session since I was on this same field last year, practicing with my best friend. Since the magic inside me rushed toward her in a flash of light, as bright as the fire in front of me, since she screamed so loudly, the sound still echoes in my ears. I try to push the memory away, but my whole body trembles with it. Keep your focus, Clara. Mr. Hart is steady and sure, coming from behind me. You can do this. I take a deep breath and refocus. My eyes are closed, but it isn't enough to erase the red and orange of the fire. A dull glow I'll continue to see long after the flames are out. Now, Mr. Hart says, the rest of the Summers release their magic to me, weaving it into my own. I tense under the weight of it. Our combined power is far stronger than individual streams flitting around the forest. The way a tapestry is stronger than individual threads within it. But it's so heavy. Most witches could never support the weight of it. Only a witch tied to all four seasons can control that much magic. Evers are rare, though, and our teachers didn't have one in their generation. I'm the first in over 100 years, so this is a learning process for us all. But it doesn't feel right, holding the magic of so many witches. It never does. Deep breaths, Clara, Mr. Hart says. You got this. My hands shake. It's so hot. Heat from the fire mixing with heat from the sun, the magic around me hangs heavy on my own. And I focus all my energy on pulling moisture from the ground. Finally, a small cloud forms above the trees. That's it. Nice and easy, Mr. Hart says. The cloud gets bigger, darker. Magic swells inside me, ready to be released, and the sheer power of it makes me dizzy. It's a terrible feeling, like I'm on the brink of losing control. I've lost control twice before. The terror that haunts my dreams is enough to ensure it will never happen again. Sweat beads on my skin, and I have to work hard for each shallow breath, as if I'm breathing atop Mount Everest instead of a field in Pennsylvania. I temper the flow and give myself 3 good breaths. Just 3. Then I start again. Ash falls from the sky instead of rain, flames leaping toward the heavens as if they're taunting me. I find my thread of magic hovering above the forest floor. I let enough energy flow from my fingertips to keep it going, but no more than that. Rain, I whisper. Water rises from the ground and cools. Tiny droplets form, and all I have to do is combine them until they're too heavy to stay in the air. That's it. I can do this. I pull the cloud away from the trees, closer and closer to the flames, until it hovers above the heart of the fire. Power moves all around me like a cyclone, and I send it spiraling into the air, toward the droplets that are so close to being rain. More magic surges inside me, desperate to get out, stealing my breath. There's a deep well of it, but I'm terrified of letting go. Terrified of what could happen if I do. I send out a small stream of magic that does nothing to ease the pressure building inside me, and I force the rest back down. It isn't enough. The rain cloud flickers, threatening to undo all the progress I've made. It needs more energy. Stop fighting it, Mr. Hart says behind me. Just let it happen. You're in control. But he's wrong. Letting go would be like breaking a dam and hoping the water knows where to go. I know better than that. I know the devastation my power can cause. There are so many sets of eyes on me, and the rain cloud churning above the fire. I split my focus between controlling the flow of my own magic and commanding everyone else's, but it doesn't feel right. I can't do it anymore. I won't. The thread of magic collapses, energy thrashing every which way like a loose fire hose. A collective groan moves through the witches around me. My arms fall to my sides and my legs buckle beneath me, the pressure no longer holding me up. I sink to the ground and heavy exhaustion replaces everything else. I could sleep right here, on the sawdust earth, surrounded by witches and fire. I close my eyes as Mr. Hart's steady voice begins directing the other witches. Okay, everyone in the northeast corner, you're with Emily. Northwest, Josh. Southeast, Lee. Southwest, Grace. Let's get this fire out. Mr. Hart keeps his tone even, but after working with him for over a year, I know he's disappointed. After several minutes, four strong threads of magic are restored, and the cloud above the fire gets larger and darker. Emily, Josh, Lee, and Grace make upward motions with their hands, and all the water they've extracted from the ground rises into the atmosphere, going up, up, up. They clap in unison, and the droplets of water combined, too heavy to remain in the air. I look up. When the first raindrop lands on my cheek, a sick feeling moves through my body. It took four of our strongest witches to do what should have been natural for me. Easy, even. Another raindrop falls, and another. Then the sky opens up. Cheers rise all around me, the sound mixing with that of the rain. People clap each other on the back and hug. Josh pulls me up from the ground and wraps his arms around my waist, twirling me through the air as if I didn't just fail in front of the entire school. My hair is soaked and my clothes cling to my skin. Josh sets me down and high-fives the other witches around him. We did it, he says, wrapping his arms around my shoulder and kissing my temple. But a training exercise is nothing compared to the unrestrained wildfires burning through California. We're going to graduate this year, and then it will be up to us to fight the real fires. And they're getting worse. Witches have controlled the atmosphere for hundreds of years, keeping everything steady and calm. We've always succeeded. We've always been strong enough. But the shaders, those without magic, were swept away by the possibilities of a world protected by it, of a world where every square inch could be used for gain. They begin to push the limits of our power and our atmosphere. At first, we went along with it, caught up in their excitement. Then their excitement turned to greed, and they refused to slow down, ignoring our warnings and charging ahead, behaving as if magic were infinite, as if this planet was infinite. Now, they've overplayed their hand. We've tried to adapt and handle the shifting atmosphere on their own, but we can't keep up. It's as if we're blowing out candles when the whole house is on fire. When we realized what the world needed was rest, we pleaded with the shaders and pleaded for our home. But we were outnumbered. The shaders couldn't see past their desire for more, developing land that humans were never meant to touch, requiring control in areas that were only ever meant to be wild. There isn't enough magic to support it all. And now the atmosphere is collapsing around us. 3 years ago, we didn't train this hard for wildfires. They spread and caused damage, but witches were always able to put them out before they became devastating. Now, there aren't enough of us to manage all the ways Earth is pushing back. I think about the acres of land that burned this year in California, and Canada, Australia, and South Africa, and it's so clear. It's so painfully clear. We aren't strong enough anymore, and the administration is relying on me to make a difference, to make the difference. But they really shouldn't. By the time graduation comes, I won't be able to make any difference at all. Let's do another chapter. Chapter 2. Just remember, the choices you make today will be felt by who you have yet to become. A season for everything. I stay in the field for a long time. The ground is covered in ash, with scattered embers sending trails of smoke toward the clouds. It's hard to believe our summer ball was just 3 nights ago. A thin tent set up on this very field to honor the end of the season. The sun has dipped below the horizon, and everything is quiet. These are the last moments of summer. The equinox is tonight, and witches will flood the gardens to welcome autumn's arrival. The summers will mourn the end of their season, and the autumns will celebrate. I hear footsteps behind me and turn to see Mr. Hart walking over the charred remains of the field. The springs will be out here in full force tomorrow, and the grass will grow back in a matter of days. In a week, there will be no trace of the wildfire left. Mr. Hart sets down a blanket and sits on top, watching the plumes of smoke with me. After several minutes, he says, "What happened out there today?" "I'm not strong enough." I don't look at him. "It isn't a matter of strength, Clara. For as long as I've been in charge of your education, you've held yourself back." I open my mouth to object, but he holds his hand up, silencing me. "I've been doing this a long time. Most of my students have to fight to get their magic out. I know what that looks like, but you're constantly fighting against it, trying to keep it in. Why?" I stare at the barren field in front of me. "You know why," I whisper. "He wasn't here when my best friend died, when my magic sought her out and killed her in one instant, one single breath. But he's heard the stories, and yet he has never shied away from me. When he was brought in to take over my education, he never worried that he might share Nikki's fate. He moved toward me when everyone else moved away. "There's too much of it," I say. "I'm not in control. And you'll never be in control if you don't let me teach you. Do you really want to live in fear of who you are for the rest of your life? Control doesn't come from avoiding the power you have, Clara. It comes from mastering it. Imagine the good you could do if you were to dedicate yourself to that." "How can I dedicate myself to something that has taken so much from me?" I ask. Mr. Hart keeps his eyes straight ahead. He shoves his wireframe glasses up his nose, and moonlight reflects off his frizzy white hair. "At some point, you have to stop pushing yourself for the things you can't change. Learning to use your magic does not mean you accept the loss it has caused. You have to stop equating the two." "You say that like it's easy. It's not. It's probably the hardest thing you'll ever do." Tears burn my eyes and I look down. I've never cried in front of Mr. Hart, and I don't want to start now. "Then why do it?" "Because you deserve some peace." "But he's wrong." "I don't deserve peace. I know Mr. Hart is getting pressure from administration, but he never pushes me to go further than I'm comfortable with. He meets me where I am, but I should be the most powerful witch alive by now, and the school is starting to lose patience with him and me. Besides, aren't you tired?" "Tired?" I ask. "It takes a lot of energy to fight your magic, so much more than it would take to use it."
"Can't you just tell everyone my magic doesn't work?"
"No one would buy that. It's there, Clara. Whether you want it to be or not, we need you." I'm silent. The school pushes me as if I'm the answer, as if I can single-handedly restore stability in the atmosphere. But if that were true, if I were supposed to use all the power within me, it would never target the people I love. It wouldn't come with a death sentence. It has taken so much, too much, and I hate my magic because of it. "Look at me." Mr. Hart faces me, and I meet his eyes. "What did I tell you when we started working together?" "You'll never lie to me. You'll tell it like it is." He nods. "This is how it is." We're quiet for a long time. Darkness has all but enveloped the field, and stars shine brightly overhead. A breeze picks up in the distance, blowing the remaining smoke out toward the trees. "Yes, I'm tired," I finally say, my voice nothing more than a whisper. "I'm so tired." And for the first time, Mr. Hart sees me cry. It's late by the time I get to my small cabin in the woods. Its shingles are weathered and old, but the two small windows are clear as crystal. They're the only way light gets into the small space, and I clean them almost obsessively. The cabin was built for the groundskeeper 50 years ago, but he married and moved off campus, and it sat empty for years. Until I moved in. I dusted the cobwebs from the cracked white ceiling and scrubbed the walls until the dust was gone and the warm wooden planks were bright. But no matter how much I clean, I've never been able to get rid of the musty smell. I'm used to it by now. Sometimes, I wonder if I'll ever stop aching when I pass the dorms where everyone else lives. I was living in Summer House when Nikki died, and the administration forced me to move to the little cabin beyond the gardens. At first, I was devastated. Moving out of the dorm where Nikki had lived felt like losing her again, but I understood why I couldn't be there anymore. When someone dies because you love them too fiercely, you turn off the part of yourself that knows how to love. Then you move to a cabin away from other people and make sure it never happens again. I push the door open and the floor creaks when I walk inside. Josh is waiting for me, sitting in my desk chair. Equinox is next to him, shoving his black head into Josh's side, purring. "What are you doing here?" "It's my last night,"
I want to spend it with you. He scratches Knox's head. And you, Knox, he adds. His accent gets heavy when he's tired. Tomorrow, he'll fly back to his campus in the English countryside, and we won't see each other again. He got here 3 weeks ago for the wildfire training. He didn't heed the warnings about me because he's arrogant, and I didn't stop him because there was no risk of me loving him. Maybe years ago there would have been, but not anymore. Besides, tonight is the equinox, and when summer turns to autumn, any affection I have for Josh will fade. It's a consequence of being an Everwitch. Being tied to all four seasons means I change with them. Tomorrow morning, my feelings for Josh will disappear, just in time for him to fly home to London. But right now, it's still summer, and what I want more than anything is the false comfort of his warm body next to mine. Then stay, I say. I take Josh's hand and he follows me the 3 steps to the bed. He tugs me close to him, brushes his lips against my neck. Until this moment, I didn't realize how much I needed this. Needed him. I close my eyes and let go of the heaviness of the day. It will be waiting for me in the morning, but for now, all I want is to shut off my brain, shut off the worries and expectations and crushing guilt that rule my waking thoughts. For one more night, I can pretend I'm not so lonely that it has practically hollowed me out. For one more night, I can pretend I remember what it feels like to love someone, to be loved in return. So I do. I pretend. By the time the moon reaches its highest point in the sky, Josh is asleep beside me. The autumnal equinox is in 7 minutes. In 7 minutes and 1 second, the reality of my life will come crashing down on me. My magic will morph to align with autumn, and I will become a more distant version of myself. Suddenly, I'm furious, searing hot rage coursing through me. It isn't enough that I'm dangerous, that my magic seeks out those closest to me. I'm also forced to change with the seasons and watch versions of me drift away like leaves trapped in a current. My skin gets hot and my breaths come shallow and quick. I try my best to calm down, but something inside me is breaking. I'm so sick of losing things, of losing myself. The sun will pull me into autumn the way the moon pulls the tide. My chest is tight. There's an ache so deep, so strong within me. I'm sure it's radiating out my back and into Josh's stomach. 4 more minutes. My body hurts from trying to stay still, perfectly still, so Josh doesn't see how torn up I am. He shifts behind me and tightens his arm, pulling me close to his chest. The room is silent except for his slow, even breathing, and I try to match my breaths to his. 30 seconds. I scoot back into Josh, getting as close as possible, no space left between us. This time, I'm going to fight. I will hold on to Josh and refuse to let go. The equinox will pass and I'll stay right here. I want to stay right here. I grab Josh's arm and he sleepily murmurs my name, nuzzles his face into my hair. A shiver runs up my spine and I cling to him with both hands, refusing to let go. 3, I won't let go. 2, I won't. 1. And that's the end of the section. The next section is autumn. So, what do you think will happen next? First and foremost, do you think she will change with the season like she does every other time? Do you think she will let go? And how do you think she is going to fight to lose her magic? And do you think she will end up doing that? Or will she accept her magic and save the world as everyone else wants her to? How do you think this climate change is going to affect their magic? And are they going to get it under control with the shaders? I hope you found this chapter intriguing enough to check out. If not, there's always another book just waiting to be discovered. You can check this book out as a physical book in our library. If you need help with your library card, let us know. We're always happy to help. Please check the show notes for some read-alikes as well as information about Earth Day. And thank you for listening. Join me next time for another Next Reads.